G'day team, welcome to another instalment of the U Project. I hope this finds you well. Hello, Melissa, good morning to you. Is
good
it morning?
Morning.
Oh, it's still morning.
Sorry, are you good? Morning. I'm great, thank you, and I'm very excited about this.
Well, we've got the smart one of the Palipana family. we've got the wise one. We've got Dinesh's mum, Chithrani Palipana, on the show having a chat with us. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you, Craig.
Now, have we allayed any of those fears and nerves? Are you okay? We'll just warm you into it.
That sounds good, yeah.
So I know the answer to some of the questions, but just for our listeners, so where are you based?
We are based in Gold Coast. We live in Southport.
Perfect. And of course, you are the internationally renowned mum of Dinesh. But is it, this is a weird question because you've never not been his mum, like you've always been his mum. But how has, you know, the last year or two, I mean, he's done some amazing things. And for those who don't know who Dinesh is, where have you been? And go and listen to the podcasts. Maybe, Melissa, you can find those podcasts while we're chatting. You got them ready?
Yes, so 299 and 461.
So 299 and 461, that is where you will learn about the great man himself. They are great episodes. Maybe go to 299 first so you can hear about the background. But how's it been for you as a mum watching your kid do all this incredible, even putting the disability aside, but, you know, radio, television, podcasts, and more importantly, helping humans and research and cutting edge science and sitting in front of hundreds and hundreds of people in live audiences? You must be super proud.
To be honest, I'm so very proud of him. I really don't know some days how he does his, what he's doing. Because I remember one particular day he had four speaking engagements where he was keynote speaker for two and two just normal ones. From Brisbane to Gold Coast to here and there, we were just running everywhere that day. But he was so cool, calm and collected. And he does what he does best. Yeah, sometimes I wonder how he keeps going, and I'm so very proud of him.
He does. I mean, it is amazing because, like, this is funny. This sounds bad, Chithrani, but sometimes I'm skeptical of people because, like, I love people, but I'm also trying to figure people out sometimes. And when I first, well, I was never skeptical of him, but when I first met him, I'm like, this guy is a unicorn. Like, he's either the best actor in the world or he's the nicest person in the world. And I've since discovered he's the nicest person. And what, you know, what I always look for in people is what they're like when no one's looking, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he has sent me some messages and Melissa and I some messages that were just private, that were just, you know, like what blew me away, I can give you an example. What blew me away was we did our recent, we did an online program called the Excellent Series, and he spoke. And as you know, that was live. Yeah. And he was amazing. Everyone loved him. Of course they did. And then we paid all of our speakers, but he wouldn't let us pay him. I'm like, mate, we're not doing you a favor. We actually pay. This is a commercial event. You know, people are paying to be part of this program. You're one of the presenters. And so quite right. He's like, nah, thanks. No, thank you. I just love the opportunity and blah, 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 all that. And I'm like, I felt bad. And anyway, a few days later, flowers come from your son to thank us for letting him be part of this. I'm like, where does that come from? Where does that come from, that value system and that kindness?
Well, I think him and I are always wanting to give back to the community because it's the community that supported us to get where we are today. after his accident, a lot of people who were close to us moved on. And it's the community that stuck with us and supported us through tough times, honestly. So actually yesterday or day before, he was telling me he's done about 100 speaking events to date. What he's doing is the most of the time when people like yourself offer him money, he actually give it to a charity of his choice.
Mm.
So he says that makes him happier. And also he says when he speaks, even if one person listens to him and takes something out of it, that makes him happy. So yeah, I think giving makes you a lot happier than taking.
How do you, as someone who's a full-time carer and, you know, like the team leader and coordinator and project manager, and you're all of it, right? Yeah. And also I know you do work outside, which we'll talk to you about. How do you look after you? Because there are a lot of people looking after Dinesh, which is brilliant and beautiful. But how do you look after you? Who looks after you?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me today. After I got Dinesh ready, because it usually takes about 3 hours to get him ready. And if he has to be out the door by 7 a.m., we wake up at 4 a.m., which happened today. So, and it's an early start and early day. So as soon as he's out the door, there's a Woolworths downstairs. I go and grab a coffee from there. So I love roses. So there's always a bunch of flowers sitting there at Woolworths. So I bought myself some flowers today. I thought, okay, I should look for myself. So wow. I think, yeah.
Yeah. How do you manage your energy? Because your life is a high energy life. And, you know, getting up at 4 a.m. daily, and it's not like this is a part-time job. This is 365 days of the year, right? So this is not just when it suits you or when you can be bothered. This is relentless and for, you know, consistent, and which is okay, of course. But how do you manage your physical energy?
I don't know how to answer that question because I think maybe because it's the love I have for him keeps me going. And I also look after myself because I know I need to be well to look after him.
Well, you nearly made me cry. I'm biting my bottom lip. Oh, my God. Oh, I wish you were my mum. No, I don't. I love my mum. My mum's awesome too. You could maybe be like a sister, a loving sister. So tell us if can you tell us your version of the story? So everyone or most people listening to this will know that Dinesh did law and then he started medicine. He figured out he didn't want to be a lawyer at that point in time anyway, and he decided to do medicine, and he was was he 2 or 3 years into his medical degree?
Yes, he was in his third year of the medical school, and it was the 31st of January. I don't think anyone will forget a day like that. So everything changed for us that night after his accident. So where
were you when you heard? Who contacted you and what were you told? And, you know, just tell us a little bit about his story from your side.
So he came home that weekend. And then it's interesting. I was working as an accountant at a local council at the time. And I was always interested in studying counseling as well. So that was my last exam practical that weekend. So when he came home, he actually drove me for my last exam. And everything was done, so that Sunday night he got ready to come back to Gold Coast. We lived on the north side at the time. I still remember him giving me a big teddy bear hug. He always gives me warm teddy bear hugs. And then he got in the car, he reversed the car out the driveway, and he waved goodbye at me, and then he left. like half an hour later, we got this call from the ambulance. Like I was just ready to sleep to go to work next day. And they said that Dinesh was in a car accident and to come to the PA. And they said nothing serious, but take your time and be there. So I didn't know what's happened. I thought maybe it must be a minor accident. Something must have happened, but we rushed to the PA. Then we were waiting in the ED for the longest time ever. Then they let us in to see him. So when we went to where he was laying on a metal bed and he had a traction on his head. And also it was really icy cold, that room. And then the minute he saw me, he said, "Don't worry, Ma, I'll be okay." So I did not know what a spinal cord injury meant. I did not know that he had a spinal cord injury. So him telling me that he's going to be okay, I thought, yeah, he's going to be okay. Maybe it's something really, you know, although I didn't see past the traction either. I didn't know what has happened. And then when we walked out, we got called into a room and there were social workers and everybody else. And then they said, okay, it's going to be a long, hard road for you. And Dinesh may never be able to even lift his hands up. They will fall back on his face and he will be like that for life. And prepare yourself for, you know, anything that might come out of it. So I still didn't really take their word on that because I knew Dinesh and I knew that when Dinesh said to me, he's going to be okay, I believed in that. But then as time went by, I realized what has happened to him. And, but then, you know, we both lived in the hope that one day he's going to find a cure for paralysis. And I thought if anyone could do it, he would do it.
Mm. Well, I think you're right. I think if anyone can, it is him. Did you allow yourself time to grieve? You know, I know your son was still here, but he was different now. Life is different now. His body is different now. His future is different now. Was there a grieving process for you or were you too busy to grieve?
Well, it's interesting that you asked me that because my mom flew in from Sri Lanka to help me out during that time. So within a few days, she was here. And then what she did, she came straight to the hospital. She dropped her bag. Then she actually, because Dinesh is her first grandson, and then she hugged him and then they cried together. Then after that, she was off to business. So when she saw me crying for the first time, she yelled at me and said, "What are you crying about? You know, you can't go down with all this because your son needs you now. So you got to be strong." And I thought, yeah, I need to be strong for him because if I fell apart, there's no one going to be there for him. I think that was good advice. Although she did it with love, I think I'm happy that she did it at the start. But I never had time to grieve. And when I speak to people like yourself, I try to hold my emotions back because everything's, it's not easy.
Mm. Well, you're human, aren't you? You know, you're not a robot, you know, and so even though you've got a master's in counseling and you understand, you know, the process and yeah, you've got to be pragmatic and you've got to get things done and, you know, you're going to wake up tomorrow and the same challenges will be there, but, you know, God bless you. But listen to me counseling you. What do I know? I'm an idiot. But I think it's important that you do debrief and that somebody gives you a hug and listens to you and, you know, somebody gives you a bit of love and goes, acknowledges, because it's been incredibly hard for Dinesh, but he's had amazing support and it's been incredibly hard for you too, because there's not just one victim of these accidents, you know, there's multiple,
yeah.
You know, and maybe that's the wrong word, but, you know, definitely there's been suffering for you as well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because it affects everyone, all the loved ones around him. When something like that happens, it's really difficult to process. Because if he was born that way, we kind of get used to it. And it's just overnight, he couldn't do anything he used to do. Like, as a young man, he was quite active and he was enjoying life to the fullest. And even now, when you see him, you know, he looks so normal to everyone. And he's still enjoying life and he's doing everything he could do. And sometimes he tells me, "Mom, I don't feel sorry for myself because there are people worse off than me." And yeah, that is so true.
Yeah. And how long did your mom stay over? And did she keep kicking your ass?
Yeah, poor mom. She actually then started going to the hospital with me every day. And we were on the north side, so it took about 1 hour for us to travel each way. So I go to the hospital around 5:30 a.m. in the morning because he would be waiting for the breakfast. He hated hospital food. Then I will stay the whole day, like until 10:30 p.m. until he goes back to bed.
Wow.
Then I come back home. Wow. And luckily for me, I had my long service leave up my sleeve. So I exhausted all my long service leave until he was in the hospital, until he got out after 6 to 7 months. And my mom was there the whole time. She will travel with me in the morning and in the night. She'll come back with me. And today she's 85 years of age. But around that time, she may have been 75.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And she was healthy and strong and functional and helpful.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, you know, and she was supporting you and Dinesh while you were, you know, supporting Dinesh. How much, this is kind of a deep, fluffy, philosophical question, but like when we're talking about overcoming or navigating, you know, injuries like Dinesh had and, you know, getting well and healing and recovery and getting back to a level of function, there's so much, of course, focus and emphasis on all the medical and the clinical and, you know, the nature of the injury. And so we work on a very practical physiological level of, you know, regaining function and strength and mobility and whatever level of, you know, function we can get back to. But I feel like that for a lot of people, having love is as important. And I mean, practical, demonstrative, there every day, there at 5:30 a.m. through till 10:30 p.m., nurturing, loving, feeding, supporting, talking, listening, hugging. For me, I genuinely feel that that's potentially more therapeutic, even on a physiological level, than OT and physio sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think genuinely just being, because we need the occupational therapy and the physio and we need the rehab, of course. And I'm not discounting the role or the value of that, but there's something genuinely healing and therapeutic about being in the middle of love.
I think it's the love that keeps us all going in many different ways. And the solid, genuine support, like you said, is quite important through that process. And hope is also something that keeps a person going, because we were living in the hope, we're going to get out of this. We're going to do what we want to do. We're going to get back to the medical school. That's hope.
Yeah.
So love and hope goes together and it keeps a man alive, I think.
100%. That is a very valid point. Like without hope, like a person without hope is in big trouble, or a person who thinks they have no hope. When the accident happened, was it interesting to observe how, and I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus here or be critical of anyone, but the way that friends and family responded, were there some people that stepped up and some people that stepped away?
Yes, because it must be quite difficult for people to deal with situations like this. And most of the time, even with my clients today, I see like the mothers stick with their children and sometimes fathers finding it difficult to deal with it and they move on. Sometimes I think it's best because they can't add more burden to what's already going on. So if they're finding it difficult, it's best that they move on. Even the mothers or the fathers, even both of them, if they find it difficult, they have to move on because it's not healthy for that person. But same thing happened to us. I think maybe his dad found it a little bit difficult to deal with it because, you know, it's not easy. Let's just say it's not easy. And the future was really uncertain.
Wow, that's very evolved of you. That's very, wow, that's understanding. That's and I guess also there was enough stress and pressure and complexity with trying to help Dinesh.
Yeah.
You didn't need more drama from another source.
No, no. And I wanted him to be happy too, you know, if he wanted to.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, you're a good human. Tell us about now, did you kind of recently finish or was it a while ago? But I feel like it was in the last 6 or 12 months you finished your master's in counseling. Is that right?
Yeah. How it happened was like when Dinesh came back to the medical school, we didn't have that much support. We didn't have support. We didn't have NDIS like back then.
Mm.
So I used to take him to the university. We had a carer coming in the morning for 2 hours to help him get ready. And then when he went to the university, I always went with him every day. I dropped him off and stayed with him.
Mm.
While I was there, I thought maybe I should start studying something as well. Then I started a grad cert in case management.
Mm.
Then once I finished that, I thought maybe I should do rehabilitation counseling because that's disability specific.
Yeah.
I thought maybe we could reach out to a lot of other people out there and just help them get through the initial process and getting back to employment and living a fulfilling life. Because like I said, from the start, it's so uncertain. We didn't have anyone to help us. And the thing is, I didn't even know that something like an accessible car park permit was available.
Mm.
I used to drive Dinesh to the furthest car park and get him out of the car that way because we need a little bit of space. But I didn't know that the car park permits were available. So there are a lot of things that we didn't know. That's why we went to Sri Lanka as well. Like, we thought, how are we going to afford this now? Because the expenses are so high. So we thought maybe going to a country like Sri Lanka, we could afford more support. But until someone said 3 years later, why don't you come back to finish your studies at the medical school? Then we said, we can't afford to live there. Then they said, no, there's funding available. Why don't I come back and apply for funding? And things like that, even now I see newly injured people, they are going through so many barriers like that because of lack of understanding.
Yeah. I guess like nobody's prepared, right? No, nobody does a preparatory course for, you know, when they become a quadriplegic. Nobody, you know, understandably, we don't really think about it.
No.
And then when it does happen, there's so much trauma and emotion and turmoil and uncertainty and anxiety. On a practical level, I guess you don't know where to start. So is that part of part of what you want to do is, you know, these people that find themselves in a similar situation to what you and Dinesh did, to help them from the outset?
Yeah, that's what I do as my in my advocacy role. I do it free of charge because I want them to have the same opportunities Dinesh had. And especially a lot of young males are the ones who sustain spinal cord injuries these days because of road traffic accidents and everything else.
Mm.
They're the active ones. And Dinesh was 25 when it happened.
Mm.
So reaching out to them and giving them hope and telling them there is a way out of it and there is support out there. You can do anything you want in life. That actually makes them, you know, think about it a little bit. If we had someone telling us that, I think things would have been different for us.
Mm. You definitely did it the hard way and you learned the hard way, but the beauty of it is that you did learn and you did, you know, you did grow through it. It's a hard way to grow, but now you know what you know and now you're prepared to help people hopefully make that journey a little bit easier for them than what you had.
Exactly.
Do you think for you personally, and I know we don't know this because we don't have a time machine and we can't change the course of history, but do you think that you today versus you today, if that had not have happened, do you think you're a drastically different person today because of the last, you know, decade or so?
I think I would not have known what it's like for a person with a spinal cord injury. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today to support people, to reach out. And also it was very interesting on the day of his accident. During the day, I went to a shopping center on the north side. So that was North Lakes Shopping Center I went. And I was actually buying something for Dinesh. I think I was at Target, I remember. And there was this lady on a wheelchair. She's trying to reach to a higher shelf. So I saw this, I stopped. And I offered her to help. And then I actually reached out to the top shelves and I got what she wanted. I still remember this. And then on my way back, I was thinking it must be so difficult for her sitting on a wheelchair and trying to reach to the top shelves.
Mm.
I didn't know it was going to happen to us that night.
Wow. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it?
That's
like a little peek into the future that you didn't know was coming. Wow. And how do you and, I mean, obviously you have a special relationship with your son, but do you have peaks and troughs, or it seems like you get on really well, or do you have your moments like normal? Is he a bit of a bugger sometimes?
Oh, yes, sometimes he is. But the interesting thing is I don't see him on a chair, or I don't see his, he's where he is. So sometimes we exchange words and I feel so bad about it because we just, you know, it's the normal household.
Yeah.
Just the mother and son, we argue, we say things, but, you know, sometimes I feel really bad. Oh no, he's on a wheelchair. But yeah, then he doesn't act that way. So yeah, it's his fault.
He's a big boy. He can cope, I'm sure. You must be proud of the research that he's involved in and all the great science that's happening around, you know, potential, you know, solutions to these problems.
Yeah. Like I said, if anyone can do it, he will do it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So what's his, these days, does he work at the university? I know he works obviously at the Gold Coast ED. Does he have a role at the university as well?
Yeah, he's a research, he does, how many titles does he have? Yeah, he does have a title at the university and also the Disability Royal Commission as well. He's a senior advisor there. And also he works at the ED.
Yeah.
And doing a million other things as well. So I can't keep count. It's so hard to keep track of him.
So with your recently acquired master's in counseling. By the way, congratulations. Did you enjoy the academic journey? Is that a natural fit for you, or is that something that you've got to work hard at?
I really loved that journey because what I was learning is very, it was related to our journey as well. So it was quite interesting having that piece of paper and having an academic understanding of it as well. Mm. So I think that was, I really enjoyed that journey.
And so what do you hope, like, was that for you something to do just to learn and to have that achievement and I guess tick a box, or was that something that you want to be a platform or a springboard to doing something in the future?
I'm practicing as a vocational rehabilitation counselor. So I help people with disability, all sorts of disability, to find employment.
Mm.
And also liaising with the employers when they're not treated well. It's sad to say, like, the disability rights and everything else looks so beautifully written on paper. But in real life, there are so many barriers to employment for people with disability. Even Dinesh went through that process, like, after he got through the medical school with all the awards, and he even did a term at the Harvard University, and he got a distinction with honors there as well. Then when it comes to crunch time for a job, Queensland Health refused to give him a job because of his spinal cord injury.
It's so ironic and bloody. Yeah, and I think there is a vast chasm between what is written and what is actually happening in the real world, as you say. Is there any sign, Chithrani, that the gap is closing? Are we getting better at it, or is it in a holding pattern?
I think we have to go out there and we have to speak up, and the awareness is number one.
Mm.
The thing with people with disability, they are already going through so many challenges in their lives, and some have already made decisions that I don't think I can work anymore.
Mm.
I don't think they will want me to do, you know, what they used to do. But then there are ways around any type of employment that they want to do. So,
Wow. So what are the messages that you want to get out to the community? Like, what are the ideas and stories that you want people to understand so that we might make this better than it currently is in terms of what's available for people with disabilities, people like Dinesh who get, you know, terribly injured in accidents? What do people need to know more of and be more aware of, Chithrani, that they don't at the moment?
Like, anything and everything is possible. Because just because we are differently abled, everyone's differently abled.
Mm. If,
you know, there is, like, not a single person can do everything in the world.
Yeah.
Everyone has limitations and everyone has abilities, and we have to actually look at what we can do and what we want to achieve. And especially I tell all my clients, anything that you want to do, that you want to wake up in the morning excited about doing it, that's what you should do. Like, you know, don't think it's going to be difficult. We will find a way to find that happy space for you.
Everybody needs a coach of sorts, don't they? Everybody needs something to be excited about. You know, as you talked about before, hope. People need like possibilities and potential. And even if they're in a wheelchair or even if they have some other severe disability, to still have the hope that I can improve, I can learn, I can be of service, I can, you know, have fulfillment and purpose, and I can grow even though I have this challenge. I love that term, differently abled. Where does that come from?
I think we are, none of us are disabled. We are disabled.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Now, are you on social media or any of those cool hip things?
I am, because Dinesh refused to be on social media for a very long time. So I have a Facebook page that I post everything about him and things to inspire others. So that's my only goal. And I think he's recently got an Instagram. Isn't that right, Melissa?
Yes, that's right. He has now got an Instagram account. We will put the link for that in the show notes.
Okay.
And Chitrani, is your Facebook page just your name?
Chitrani Palepana, yes.
Okay. No Instagram for you yet?
I do have one, but Dinesh seems to be more active than me. So because what we post is the same things.
Right.
So anything to inspire someone out there, that's what we post. So that's what he's doing on Instagram, and I do on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
Now I'm going to ask a cheeky question to wind up, because it is my way to be somewhat cheeky. Do you have time for a personal life yourself?
I enjoy work and I enjoy reaching out and supporting people. So that's what I enjoy.
You're just too bloody good. You're like your son. Well, we appreciate you having a chat with us on the U Project, and for taking the time out, and thanks so much for what you're doing for obviously Sun, who we love here, but also thanks for just the great work that you're doing in general with people who need love and support. You know, we think you're awesome.
Thank you very much for having me, Craig. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolute pleasure. You stay right there, young lady. If you would, we'll say goodbye to everybody and then we'll say goodbye to you off the mic. Melissa, thank you.
Thank you. And thank you so much, Chitrani, it was a privilege having you on to see the lady that supports Dinesh. I think it's fair to say I can see where he gets some of his strength and compassion from. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So nice of you. All right. Thanks, everyone. Love your gutses. That's Dinesh's mum. She's a bloody ripper. She wouldn't call herself that, but I would, a bloody ripper. I might get her a T-shirt or a hat with that on it. See ya.